We'll move on to our next case, which is Pound v. Astru. Mr. Wolf?
May it please the Court. Your Honors, what I believe is important here is that even in a case where there are maybe many pieces of evidence that could arguably be put together in some way to support a commissioner's denial of benefits, the ALJ still has to analyze those in a logical way. He has to build that logical bridge to his conclusions.
Yeah, but isn't the problem here that most of her more serious medical problems occurred after the date last insured, that December 31st, 2003?
There is some of that going on, Your Honor, yes. There is some of that. But as I indicated in my brief, a lot of the conditions that we have alleged have at least symptoms that arose earlier. Now,
The symptoms aren't enough, right? She has to be disabled by that date.
Absolutely, Judge. And
what is the evidence of some sort of precipitous decline, you know, from July to December 2003? I mean, in July, she's still riding her bulldozer.
Judge, I'm glad you brought that up because I think that's one of the areas where the ALJ really is making some assumptions about what that means. I'll grant that that's not the smartest thing for a person who has the conditions that Ms. Pound has to be doing, but there's a letter in the file, as I'm sure Your Honors took a look at, from the operator of the bulldozer that explained, you know, the limits of what she was really doing there. But I think what the ALJ, you know, and I don't know exactly how many minutes she was on the bulldozer. I think the gentleman said she was on there for a minute. But whether it was, you know, 15 minutes or 30 minutes or whatever, that doesn't necessarily mean, again, as a matter of logic, that she can do that kind of thing on a sustained basis. And there really wasn't evidence as to, you know, she wasn't pushing the bulldozer. I mean, she's really sitting on the bulldozer moving a
she's not pushing the bulldozer.
This could be essentially sedentary or even less than sedentary. And, again, there's no evidence that she can do that on a sustained basis, that she was doing it all day for 8 hours.
What was her situation then in 2003? What was her problem?
Judge, I think it was a combination of the TIAs, the mini strokes, the cerebral vascular.
TIAs.
Oh, I'm sorry. The mini strokes, essentially. I'm using a medical acronym. Yeah, I apologize, Judge. The mini strokes, and then the back pain, and what I guess she calls seizure disorder, which may or may not, you know, there was a diagnosis of seizure disorder later in 2004, I believe, but you know, there's evidence that I think she either had the symptoms of that earlier, or maybe she's having this so-called nocturnal myoclonus, which she may be confusing or calling a seizure disorder.
Is there any indication, for instance, that Dr. Amorato limited his review to her condition prior to the date last insured? Because he indicated that you could only lift 5 pounds, stand for 15 minutes, that those limitations began in December 2001. But that's inconsistent with her own report that she could do farm work, that she could operate the bulldozer in July of 2003, and her lack of complaints at that time as to her limitations.
I'll say two things about that, Judge. First of all, with regard to the alleged lack of complaints, I would say we have to look at this claim in the context of, you know, this is a person who wasn't working since 1998, and certainly the bulk, if not all, of the records we're looking at are since 1998. And so I think it's important that, you know, she's self-limiting, and there may not be symptoms that are arising necessarily on all of her visits to the doctors, whereas if she was out trying to work full-time 8 hours a day, there's going to be more significant symptoms. And the way I interpreted Dr. Amorato's opinion, obviously he applied his medical judgment and concluded somebody that had a history of the mini strokes, the positive MRI results, the back pain that she had, even though she may not be reporting significant symptoms at the time of those doctor visits, certainly can't do full-time work, in his opinion. And the other thing I'd indicate, Judge, in response to your question, is that two of the most significant objective findings that Dr. Amorato relied on were the positive MRI findings with regard to the low back, which did predate the DLI by several years. I think those went back to 1999. And another significant condition that Dr. Amorato pointed to was the history of the mini strokes, which again go back well before. I think that definitely goes back to 1999 because that's when her allegedly successful end arterectomy occurred, was in that year. Which leads me to another, I think, a matter of faulty logic on the part of the ALJ, which was his assumption that there wasn't really any symptoms from the TIAs or the cerebral vascular disease, whatever we want to call it, after that end arterectomy, when in fact I have at least one example where she was complaining of severe headache in November of 2000, which was a good 15 months after that operation, and in fact that headache prompted the doctors to order an MRA and an MRI at that time, which in fact again revealed quote, small vessel ischemic changes. So again, that, I think that's consistent with the history of the TIAs, and that is showing symptoms after the procedure. And another thing that the ALJ did is focus on mental condition. You know, he talks about the he or she. I'm sorry, Judge. I can't remember the ALJ whether it was a man or a woman. But
she. Woman.
Thank you, Judge. But what the ALJ seemed to want to do is talk about the mini strokes and then go right into whether or not she's got mental limitation. But I think he seemed to be discounting to a large degree the fact that she could have physical limitations arising from that condition, which apparently is what Dr. Amorato was finding as a basis for limiting her to the extent that he did limit her. Your Honors, again, the ALJ, I believe, is taking pieces of records with regard to, again, the alleged limited symptoms. He's picking out statements such as, quote, significant workload in November of 2000, doing, quote, a lot of work in July 2003, and trying to undermine Dr. Amorato's opinion. But, again, those really need to be looked at in the context of what she was doing. She wasn't working, and what may seem to her like doing, quote, a lot of work might be sitting on a bulldozer for 15 minutes and then giving up. So I just don't believe that the ALJ here has built that accurate and logical bridge to his conclusions. I believe the decision is faulty for that reason. Judge, I'll go ahead and reserve my remaining time for rebuttal, but I would ask that this case be remanded to the commissioner with instructions to pay the claim or for a new hearing. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Wolf. Ms. Lake.
May it please the Court, my name is Deborah Lee. I'm appearing on behalf of the Commissioner of Social Security. Ms. Pound contests two aspects of the ALJ's decision. First, the identification of severe impairments, and second, the weighing of the treating physician, Dr. Amorato's opinion. And as you've noted here, the time
could
period...
Could you speak a little less fast? I know it's scary and nervous, but just a little, because I can't keep up with you.
The time period here under consideration is July 1998, the alleged onset date, through December 31st, 2003, her date last insured.
Okay, so now, although she indicated an ability to do farm work and bulldozing in July 2003, you know, which we've discussed, is there any indication in the record as to how long she was able to work without resting and, you know, the amount of weights that she was lifting at that time?
Well, that particular instance regarding the bulldozer, I believe she testified that she was there for about 30 minutes. And that's not the only instance where she was noted to be doing a lot of farm work. The record actually shows as far back as June 1999, Ms. Pound reported to her physician that she did a lot of work at her farm. August 1999, she ran a farm with her husband, ran a tractor, walked quite a bit, did a lot of gardening and fishing. November 2000, took on a significant workload. May 2002... had felt so good that she was mowing, shopping, and doing a lot. And then, of course, the incident you mentioned in July 2003.
I'm sorry, I didn't understand one word that of that last phrase.
The last incident that I mentioned was the July 2003 incident.
Okay. Well, I mean, although we are limited by the date last insured here, isn't the deterioration in her condition after that date nevertheless relevant to shed light on the true nature of her condition prior to December 31st of 2003? And doesn't that provide some support for the conclusion of her treating physicians as to what her actual limitations were?
Not really, Your Honor, because Dr. Amorato's opinion relies very heavily on her degenerative disc disease and cites the MRI findings. And as late as January 2007, Ms. Pound was refusing nerve conduction testing, saying that her arm and leg weakness weren't really that bad and her degenerative discs had been stable since first diagnosed. You know, Ms. Pound also alleges that she had an autoimmune disorder and cites a couple things that she thinks supports that diagnosis going back to the insured period. But I think it's important to note that Ms. Pound was never actually diagnosed with an autoimmune disorder, despite seeing a couple different specialists with respect to her complaints. And she started seeing those specialists in October 2004, Dr. Ranganathan, a rheumatologist, and Dr. Reno, a neurologist, and reported to Dr. Ranganathan that she had just started to experience right arm pain and weakness and myalgias.
Now, the ALJ concluded in a very conclusory finding that Ms. Pound could only perform sedentary work, and she didn't rely on any opinion evidence at all to reach that conclusion. And certainly the regulations seem to require that an ALJ first assess, you know, the nature and the extent of a claimant's physical and mental limitations, and then determine a claimant's capacity to work on a regular basis. How do we deal with that?
Well, first of all, Your Honor, the ALJ did note that state agency physicians felt that Ms. Pound could perform light work in spite of her impairments, and the ALJ generously considered Ms. Pound's complaints of fatigue due to her cardiac condition and downgraded that to sedentary work. In addition, the ALJ gave multiple good reasons for the weighing of Dr. Amorato's opinion. The ALJ noted that it was not well supported in terms of support with medical evidence, that it was inconsistent with a number of the findings in the record as a whole. The ALJ considered Dr. Amorato's specialty in that he was a primary care physician. The ALJ also considered the length and frequency of treatment by Dr. Amorato. The ALJ specifically noted that Ms. Pound started seeing Dr. Amorato in late 2001, December 2001, and then the ALJ noted two significant gaps in Ms. Pound's treatment by Dr. Amorato between December 2001 and March 2003, and again between September 2003 and June 2004. I wanted to address a couple of points about Ms. Pound's allegations regarding her cerebrovascular disease. She did have a carotid artery endarterectomy, but as the ALJ discussed, about 2 weeks after the surgery, Dr. Ansbrough assessed her progress as very satisfactory, with no restrictions whatsoever on her activities. In 2001, as Ms. Pound's attorney has noted, she did have some complaints, but testing showed that her mild vessel changes were stable in comparison to the study from the year before. Then in March 2001, vascular studies confirmed only a minimal amount of cerebrovascular disease, and in July 2003 confirmed that her condition remained stable. The ALJ also assessed Ms. Pound's allegations of a seizure disorder on pages 24 to 25 of the administrative record, noting that the first possible seizure problem was mentioned by her doctor, Dr. Amorato, in October 2005. And with respect to the allegations of the autoimmune disorder, again, Ms. Pound first sought treatment from two specialists in October 2004, and she applied for disability benefits just a month later in November 2004, which the ALJ reasonably viewed as indicating that indicated when her condition was starting to decline. And with respect to the issue of Dr. Amorato's opinion, as we've already discussed, Dr. Amorato's opinion was not well supported by clinical and diagnostic data. The MRIs showed only mild findings in her lumbar and cervical spine. And at the same time, between 1998 and mid-2004, clinical findings were generally normal, and Ms. Pound did not voice ongoing complaints of musculoskeletal pain. In terms of inconsistencies, the ALJ noted a number of inconsistencies between Dr. Amorato's opinion and the other evidence in the record. As we discussed earlier, there were a number of treatment notes from 1998 to 2003 that indicated Ms. Pound was capable of a pretty high level of activity. As we also mentioned earlier, she refused nerve conduction testing as late as January 2007, despite the recommendation of her neurologist to get testing. And there were two gaps in her treatment history, which would indicate that for long periods of time, her case wasn't really as bad as she is now claiming it is. If there are no further questions, we respectfully request that this court affirm the decision of the commissioner.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Lee. Mr. Wolf, any further time?
Yes, Judge. Minutes? Yeah. May it please the court. Thank you, Judge. I would like to respond to a point or two from counsel in her argument. I believe that the ALJ, as well as the commissioner here today, seems to find it important to seize upon words like the, quote, minimal vascular damage that some of the tests were finding later. I guess I'd ask rhetorically, Judge, how much damage to any of our brain vessels would any of us tolerate? You know, the word minimal, I mean, there was certainly enough damage to have caused many strokes prior to the date last insured. There was certainly enough damage to have resulted in the need for a procedure. There was enough damage to result in certain symptoms even after the procedure, and enough symptoms that Dr. Amorato felt that the claimant was in need of significant restrictions. So I think the words, the sort of conclusory words such as minimal, aren't terribly helpful. Another quick point I'd like to make, the commissioner just raised in her argument the alleged rejection of a nerve conduction study, but Judge, I think the commissioner needs to make a finding as to whether any treatment that a claimant's alleged to have refused would actually be able to restore the claimant to an ability to work. And, you know, we have a claimant who's been told by her doctors that she's limited enough that she can't work. And it's not necessarily unreasonable for her to not want to pursue, you know, further invasive treatment that's not necessarily going to change her condition.
Okay. Thank you, Mr.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you, Ms.
Thank
Lee.
You. Thank you.
Our last case.